Okay, good afternoon. I'll call the conference call to order. And our first agenda item is the minutes from the March 20th meeting. They were distributed with the agenda. I'll make a motion to approve.
Mr. Doug, I'll second the motion.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion regarding the minutes? Then, all in favor say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Matt.
Okay.
This is Vicki. Who seconded that? I didn't hear it.
Doug.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then, we have a series of loans, 8 loans for about $3.6 million, I believe.
Correct. And they've been approved for public purpose, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jonathan. Then, I'll make a motion to approve the loans.
It's Doug. I'll second the motion.
Thanks, Doug. Any discussion regarding the loans this month? Then, all in favor say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Brad.
Matt, I vote no.
Okay. Then, we have a new business item on the agenda this month, and that's a motion put on the agenda by the treasurer. And Matt, would you like to state your motion?
Yeah, I mean the motion. Do we have to talk about the motion right away, or can we just talk about the topic? Or what do you prefer, sir?
Oh, just make the motion. Okay. So we'll second it and then go into discussion.
Okay. Well, the motion that I sent to you, everybody, was. The language says, if Governor Walker signs AB 804 into law, the BCPL is then authorized to sell all normal school fund and university fund land holding, approximately 69,000 acres for normal school fund and 50,000 acres for the university fund, to the
county. I'm having trouble hearing. Is there a lot of static somewhere? I'm having trouble hearing. It's a dog.
To the common school fund for appraised value.
I'm sorry, Doug. Were you able to hear what the motion was, Doug?
Well, it sounded like someone shuffling papers or something in the background.
Yeah, that might have been me. I am trying to squish some things around. I apologize for that.
Well, the motion I made is on the printed agenda, so.
Okay.
Well, I heard part of it, and I looked at our agenda, so I don't know the exact wording, but I guess I understand the concept.
Okay. For purposes of discussion, I'll second the motion, then we can proceed to discussion regarding this.
This is Doug. I have a question. What is the status of AB 804?
This is Matt. It passed both houses of the legislature with bipartisan support. And it's awaiting approval by Governor Walker. So it's basically waiting for his signature.
Okay, thank you.
You want me just to briefly talk about the motion? And then I'll...
Go ahead.
Okay, well, basically, the point of the motion is that, obviously, we have a couple trust funds, but realistically, the main two, the normal school fund, which benefits the university, and then the Common School Fund, which benefits the K-12 public schools. And one of the things that we've talked about in the asset allocation model that was accepted by the board kind of calls for a 5% target allocation for real estate. And right now, that the Common School Fund has very little land. It's almost all in the university fund. And so, obviously, we're trustees for both funds, so we kind of have a duty to make sure both are looking good and protected. And obviously that is our goal today, but this would be one way that we could kind of, if we sold the land that's sitting in the normal school fund, over to the common school fund in like a big swoop or a large portion of it, that would kind of fund this merit scholarship program, which is important for the UW because on our money that we have in the normal school fund, which is about $28 million in cash equivalents, and then most of it's in land. So that fund is kind of very disproportionately asset allocation wise too much top heavy on land. So, but the real goal of it is to try to find a way where this board, the three of us as well as the staff there, where we could add a nice benefit that we right now are known for. We're right now known for the huge distribution we do every year to the K-12 schools, which is going to continue, and we want to protect that. But this would be a nice bonus for the UW system, because right now what they're getting from us are those three little funds that get a little bit of money, but it's very little money. I think our highest year has been about $500,000. And we keep those in the legislation passed by the legislature. Those are held harmless. They stay the same. But I guess I'd like to bring Ray in just to talk about merit scholarships. And because right now the UW system, including all the UWs, UW-Madison and everybody, they need merit scholarships. So I guess if Ray, you'd be willing to talk briefly about what you think about making these merit scholarships, that'd be helpful.
Sure, I'd be happy to, Matt. Thank you and good afternoon. I think the University of Wisconsin and the state of Wisconsin have done an excellent job of providing need-based financial aid for students from families that obviously need help, and we hope we can expand that even further. Where we are, I think, are weak, particularly at campuses outside of Madison, but Madison as well. We are now competing with institutions in the Big Ten and elsewhere that have very extensive merit scholarship awards. As an example, I think most of you have probably heard that if you are a national merit finalist, a national merit scholar in Wisconsin or any other state, if you go to Oklahoma, you get a total free ride, and that includes room and board. That's how aggressively they are pursuing national merit scholars. So Wisconsin graduates about 200 to 300 national merit scholars a year, and we want to keep more of them in this state. This wouldn't be a free ride, but it would give us some additional funding to do that, and it would translate our fixed asset in land to a more flexible fund from which we could draw earnings at a greater level. And I think Matt has articulated some of that in his spreadsheet work. Ohio State, Michigan in particular, is aggressively pursuing students of merit. Purdue is really probably in the Big Ten. Purdue is probably offering the largest amount for merit scholars. Indiana, Ohio State, and Maryland. The rest of them are somewhere between million and under, but those four or five that I mentioned are really aggressive. And we're having difficulty in this state keeping our best and brightest, so we see this as an effort to really enhance that, and we're supportive of doing what is being proposed in the I think it's 804. That's a little summary of where we think this is and why it would be valuable.
This is Doug. I have a question. I don't know much about the merit scholarship program, other than what you mentioned that I've seen before in the press. Are we able currently to fund all of the Wisconsin merit scholars?
Perhaps you could explain a little bit further what you mean by the merit scholars.
I'm not quite sure. You mentioned that we have a program that guarantees the funding for merit scholars.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. My fault. The National Merit Scholar, if you happen to score really high and do very well as a national and become a National Merit Scholar, all of us do attempt through private funding to attract and retain those, but it's minimal compared to what other states do when they complement their private funding with the amounts of money that I mentioned coming from state coffers earlier, Doug.
I have a little trouble hearing you, so like you're in an echo chamber, but the question I ask is, in Wisconsin, are all the high school merit scholars in Wisconsin, able to be funded to go to the UW?
No.
No. So what percent are being funded now to come to the university?
Well, roughly a third of them. That's probably a bit of an exaggeration. I'd say somewhere between 25% and a third end up coming to the university or to a private institution within Wisconsin. Most of them go out of state. Now, when they come to Wisconsin, we don't fully fund that either. They get some scholarship award, but not as much as other states, and in particular, one I mentioned, Oklahoma, which offers a total free ride.
I thought you said in the beginning that we offered a free ride to merit scholars.
No, that was Oklahoma, Doug, that does that.
Having trouble hearing you. You said that Oklahoma does. You didn't say that Wisconsin does.
Right, that's right.
Ray, this might help Doug here. I had a question. How much right now does the state of Wisconsin pay for merit scholarships to, let's say, the UW?
Well, let's say they're going to Madison. It varies by how much that particular student might get from federal financial aid or from the WEG, the Wisconsin Higher Ed Grant. But they may augment that. I doubt that any of those ever get over 50% of the average student, because the average student that comes to Madison, family earning is close to $100,000, so they aren't eligible for a lot of those funds. So the purpose of this kind of a merit scholar is there is no need-based criteria in the material.
So if somebody has, let's say, if they're not need-based, I would thought from the hearing when we had at the Capitol that the people that came from UW-Madison testified that they don't have any money for merit scholarships for people that aren't need-based, unless there's private scholarship, but of state money.
Correct? That's correct. No state money. That is correct. Any money they would have would be private.
Okay. So right now, if you're graduating from, let's say, Madison La Follette, unless you're the top graduate and you get the academic excellence, which is about $2,300, you're going to get any money to go to Madison, correct, if you're paying
that's
a certain amount of money?
That's right.
Okay, guys. This is Brad. I've had my legal team at DOJ do some very preliminary examination of the law and our responsibility as trustees. The early indications are we have an equal responsibility to both of these trusts. That would mean that we cannot take from one trust to benefit the other. We will continue the research into this to see whether there are any other alternatives. But right now, with very quick research just in the last couple days, that's the conclusion we're coming to. While there's certainly merit to creating these merit scholarships for UW system, and it's a wonderful idea, and as an alum, I'm all for building the reputation of our state's university system, but we're trustees. We don't have the luxury of just creating the policies that we like the best. We have a responsibility to both trust, and therefore, because I don't think the research is complete on this, I'm going to make a motion to table this until we've completed the research and we know more about our legal responsibility as trustees.
Brad, may I make a comment on this?
Yes.
I understand.
We have a motion. We have to finish dealing with that motion.
Okay. You're right, Doug. Do we have a second on my motion to table this?
This is Doug. I'll second it so we can talk.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Well, go ahead then, please.
I think I'm going to refer to the handout, page 9, I believe, of the handout that I have received. And I think your question Attorney General, is if I understand it, you cannot treat these funds differently or unequally. Is that a fair assessment?
We have an equal responsibility to protect the assets of both trusts.
So, and I think I would certainly agree with that. The question then is, at one point back in 1848 when these were set up, it looks like the Common School Fund had about 1.5 million acres in the fund, and the Normal School Fund about 1.7 million. So the Common School Fund has moved most of those, well, down to about 6,000 acres. But the Normal School Fund still has about almost 70,000 acres in it, if I'm reading this correctly. So it appears that these funds have been treated unequally heretofore. Is that a fair, I'm just looking at the numbers here.
The problem is the nature of the land that was distributed to the two funds, and a large portion of the land that ended up in the Normal School Fund, and now the one that has so much land left, and much of that land was the Swamp Land Act that placed that there and left land in it that just never had the value that some of the other land had.
Yeah, and so the other fund was, acreage in that fund was more marketable, I got that. More easily marketable, I guess I should say. I got that. I guess I'm asking the question is clearly that land has been sold and from that fund, and it would seem to me that the selling of this land, where it's possible, would in fact bring greater equality in the process. And I'm really making that point, and I'm not an attorney, and all of you should say thank goodness, but I'm just making that point.
Well, this is Matt. Thank you for the question there. I guess my question would be, if we move past it, at some point, I mean, I don't disagree we have a duty to both funds, but one of the things would be a bill that was passed at 8804 says, I have to sell it for appraised value. So obviously we didn't require the staff to go out and get an appraisal. Let's just say it's $45 million for all of it. Maybe we don't sell all of it. Maybe we sell a quarter of it. Maybe we sell half of it. I guess my question would be, Jonathan has talked about, how land is a good asset to have. And so in that analysis you talked about, Mr. Attorney General, I'd assume we'd want to assume that if the Common School bought some of this land, especially the productive stuff, the stuff that's usually on our sheets that's red or yellow, the good stuff, the red stuff, the productive timberlands, that would be a good buy for the Common School Fund. So if the university sold it to them, the Normal School Fund sold it to the Common School Fund, it would be a good deal for them because I know Jonathan has said it's a hedge on inflation, and we have to not only worry about, the beneficiaries today, but also in 20 years, 50 years, 100 years. So I don't think it's necessarily, you don't have an issue with possibly selling some of the land between them, do you?
Well, the hedge on the on the fluctuations of the market is the land that has timber value to it. And that land has some value that we could talk about, but that's not the majority of the land, in my understanding. Perhaps someone from the staff can.
Inform
us better on that.
That one handout I had just did have it from the staff. It was just handout C, just so you have it. It says that of all of our lands, we have 31,000 acres that are productive, and Normal School has 28,000. So, a little less than half the whole land, but a decent amount of it, 28,000 acres. That was from one of the land bank documents the staff handed out a couple months back.
Well, but I mean, this is Doug. All this hypothetical talk about value of land and all, and it misses the point. The comments that when I saw this on the agenda, I was thinking back 20-some years ago when I first became a board member. And I said, okay, what is all this stuff, And I asked our attorney why we had these different trusts. And it was explained to me how this was set up. And it was explained to me that they were independent trusts. and we had to manage and supervise them as such. And I've always just assumed that was how it is. Now, many years have passed, and I've kind of forgot about it until recently when this proposal came up, and then I sort of rethought it, and the chairman, the attorney general, has just pointed out a few minutes ago what I remember from 20 years ago, that our obligation to these trusts are independent, and we aren't allowed to treat them in different ways, to benefit them in different ways. And I think that's the point. And based on that, I guess I'd call the question here so we can get this table to move on.
Yeah, Doug, you're right. As great as it sounds to make our university system stronger through merit scholarships, we have responsibilities as trustees that we can't violate based on what we think is best. This is something that needs yet to be, the research needs to be completed by the lawyers on my team before I will make my judgment on this. So right now, my vote is to table this, and I vote aye for that. I don't, let's call the vote.
This is Doug. I vote aye to table it.
I mean, obviously it's tabled. I guess I would vote no, but if you want to move on, I was going to ask a question of Jonathan.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the background. It's barely here. What's happening?
One over there.
Shuffling papers and stuff.
What about it?
I hear people talking.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, would you
what was your question?
This meeting
what
order?
Was your question? Matt, what was your question?
Oh, I was just going to ask Jonathan because he had mentioned to me when we met, I know we met in one of Representative August's office about how actually it made sense to sell some of the land between the funds. Maybe not all of it, which is on there today, and obviously you're being cautious with talking to your attorneys over there. But I guess the question would be the productive lands, which is 28,000 in the normal school fund. I remember Jonathan saying that that's a good asset to have. So if we sold it, obviously one would, by your logic, Common School Fund would want to have it. Is that correct, Jonathan, or no?
Mr. Chairman, what's on the agenda at the moment?
I'm just going ahead and letting Matt had a question that kind of continued the discussion we were having regarding tabling the motion. I'm going to let him go forward. Robert's rules may criticize me later, but I'm going to let it happen.
Well, the motion has been tabled.
Yes, it has.
And now, so he has a question for
we
our
can't,
staff.
The three of us can't gather information together outside of these public meetings. So I would prefer that the treasurer be able to ask the question and gather this information in this setting than to stand on the technicality and leave us unable.
Okay.
So I'm just going to let him ask and see if he can get an answer to his question.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. Jonathan?
Well, I'll try and answer it. I think the best thing right now would be if, in fact, we're going to get an analysis from the AG's Office of Legal Services, it would be really helpful to have that analysis before we talk in any depth further. Both Tom and I can see some opportunities for exchanges of land between the two funds, especially if it's blocks of land that are quite similar. We could find ways to move some land between the trust, but to sell land with just an appraised value that doesn't generate income would potentially disadvantage one fund over the other. So I'd rather wait till I have this analysis from the AG's office before I hazard a statement that would just be opinion right now, Matt.
All right, so you're just waiting for the AG opinion.
I think it'd be wise to do that, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is Ray Cross. I'd like to sign off. Just wanted you to know that. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Take care.
Thanks, Ray. Have a good day.
Okay. Do we have any new agenda items to discuss at this time? Then do you have an executive secretary's report?
Yeah, I don't think I need to go into any detail beyond that which is provided in the financial reports for the recent month's activity in terms of our holdings, and I'd be glad to answer any questions regarding those.
Okay.
I guess you should note
that we had a great presentation at Weimta again. Doug got a very nice career of achievement award, and they were very grateful for yet another huge payout from us, and I think they're very appreciative of the fact that our staff has continued to grow the interest on these funds in that down market. Our staff was very well loved at the Weimta meeting, and Jonathan, I don't mean to jump your report, but I presume that's something you would want to say.
Well, it is something that one would point out with Rich and Tom's efforts, and I'm tagging along. We've done pretty well last year. We're actually projecting next year to top this year for the Common School Fund.
And we'll continue working toward filling that smoothing fund.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's good news. Okay. Anything else, okay, Jonathan? All right, then I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Doug, I'll second the motion.
Matt, I'll third it.
All right, then we've got our votes. Thank you, everybody. Take care. Bye.